The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody. It is 8 o'clock, and welcome to the Walking Dead Online Viewing Party, Season 9, Episode 1. It is Sunday, the 7th of October, 2018. I'm co-host Casey Shapiro, coming to you on blogtalkradio.com via NDB Media. Tonight's show contains spoilers up through the last episode and any current AMC official promo materials. So welcome to the Season 9 opener of The Walking Dead. We will be running straight through the front half with Season 9, Episode 8, airing on Thanksgiving weekend, that Sunday night. Check in the chat room real quick. And nobody here just yet, but there will be. So let's go back to our notes. Typically we start the show about a half hour before the new episode airs live each week. I've started it an hour early because of the season opener. I have a lot of notes to share with you guys, so I wanted to make sure we had time to get to at least quite a few of them before we went dark. Usually we'll start off with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m. we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together and give episode ratings from 1 to 10. And commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either spoilers or the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's actually presented. Feel free to call in to speak with the hosts at 914-338-0314 anytime this evening, especially between 8:30 and 9 p.m. Well, tonight it would be between 8 and 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. If you call during the show, you will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, join us in our live chat room where you will be able to listen to the show real time, as well as download the episode after the fact, and we post the links for that on Facebook and my Twitter. So feel free to share them. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening, you can still go to the episode link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening, or you can listen to it on the website. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page to download. Check the chat room one more time. Okay, still alone. Let's continue. Episode 1 is called A New Beginning. The official AMC synopsis is, Rick and his group make a risky run into Washington, D.C. to search for artifacts they will need to build the civilization he and Carl envisioned. I was a little sad, actually, to hear this because I like to try to keep up on things, and I don't remember there being any sort of an announcement about extras or casting or any shooting in D.C. proper. So I can only assume they did this on a mock-up of D.C. or something. I don't really know, but if anybody happens to know, feel free to fill me in. Additionally, there's a couple notes starting off Season 9 that I read to you guys last season at the end of Season 8, but it's been a few months, so I'll refresh your memory. Scott Gimple stated that Season 9 will be a stark contrast to previous seasons. No idea what he means by that. It's kind of vague. It has been hinted that Heath's disappearance will be explained this season. This will be the first season in which Angela Kang is the showrunner for The Walking Dead, and this season will implement a time skip after the events of All Out War. And I have an additional synopsis for you guys that is from undeadwalking.com, and I will read that to you. Let me pull that up real quick. And they have to say, this one is by Sarah Beth Pollock, who often writes for them on behalf of the show. So she says, 18 months have passed since the events in All Out War, and she means this in show time, not in real life, and a new beginning is taking shape on The Walking Dead. Well, it's a new beginning for the viewers because it's the first time we're seeing the post-war communities, but for the characters, they have spent this time adapting and evolving and finding new ways to survive. Season 9 is very different from past seasons, from the past several seasons, and the best way to describe it is that it feels much more like the earlier seasons of the show. For the fans on the fence about watching it, perhaps giving 901 a try and see what you think. It's so very different, both in tone and story, that it's a lot of fun. She gives the episode description, which I'll skip because I always give that to you guys first off. Naturally, the biggest news surrounding season 9 has been the impending departure of Andrew Lincoln and Laura Cohen, who is, you know, Rick Grimes and Maggie Rhee, born Green. While Cohen's departure isn't necessarily permanent, the idea of losing Rick Grimes has been rough, to say the least. Lincoln has been the backbone of the series since the very beginning, and losing him will be a major loss, to be sure. With so many cast members and a brave new world to explore, there's a lot to look forward to in Season 9, a great deal of which wasn't possible before this point. The communities are thriving, and there is a sense of stability and an optimism for a bright future. No matter how tranquil things might seem, never forget that this is The Walking Dead, and that means there are still dangers lurking around every corner. And that is the end of that article. I actually don't have this in my notes because it just happened. But speaking of the Green family, I actually wanted to tell you guys, if you had not heard yet, there was news late last night, early this morning, that the actor who plays Herschel Green, and I'm going to have to look his name up. I'm sorry. I was at the Living Dead Weekend up in Pittsburgh. Checking out the other grandfather of this genre. And I want to make sure I get his name right. I want to say Scott Wilson. And I would feel like an idiot if I get this wrong. It is Scott Wilson. He had passed away yesterday, and he was 76. There has been talk on Variety, on IMDb, and some of the news wires that he had cancer, possibly leukemia. That's not 100% verified yet. It was a bit of a shock because he was actually anticipated to appear at Walker Stalker Con Atlanta at the end of this month. So I don't know who knew about all this. It was so sudden, I actually worried that it was pancreatic cancer. But at any rate, I'm going to give some applause for Scott's work. I'm not happy he's gone, but I appreciate what he was for the franchise. So this is for him. Whoops. Sorry about that. I don't really know what else there is to say now. This is very sudden news, so we don't really have any more than that, but I wanted to make sure that got said before we got too far in. Okay, so I've read you the synopsis, and now we are on to the writers and directors section, which we usually like to do every week when we can. If we get the directors and the script writers for that episode, I like to give you guys profiles on them to kind of understand what's going on and get to know them too. So tonight's episode was written by Angela Kang, who is the new showrunner, and directed by Greg Nicotero. So Greg Nicotero has been involved with the Walking Dead universe since its inception. He has been extensively profiled by us in the past, so we'll just update the last little bit of his work. Nicotero has had several roles in this franchise. He's previously directed 25 other episodes of The Walking Dead since 2012, including the Season 8, Episode 16 finale, Wrath. So tonight's episode will be his 26th time directing, and it has also been publicly announced that he will also direct Season 9, Episode 5, What Comes After, and that airs November 4th. Angela Kang has also worked extensively with the franchise in the past and is now The Walking Dead's new showrunner. She has written 25 episodes for this series, not necessarily the same 25 that Greg directed. She started with Season 2, Episode 1 opener, What Lies Ahead. Her last previous work with the show as a writer was writing Season 8, Episode 16, Wrath, which Greg directed, and she will be writing her 27th script later this season for next week's Season 9, Episode 2, called The Bridge. So we don't need to do stuff for last episode because we still have current notes. I'm going to check the chat room again. Okay. So we're starting a little earlier, so people may not quite have caught that yet, and it may take a little while to join us. So I'm going to go ahead and proceed to trivia. This is one of the reasons that I started early, because there is a lot of stuff. The Walking Dead, I've gotten trivia for the upcoming episode as well as the last episode. So trivia about tonight's episode. It will be the first appearance of the character Herschel Rhee, who who is Maggie and Glenn's son. He will not be a thought or a discussion or an ultrasound. He will be an actual character played by an actor. First appearance of Earl, who is the Hilltop's blacksmith. I'm not going to say any more. I don't have any more, and I didn't try to get it. I'm just giving you that for context. First appearance of Tammy Rose, who is Earl's wife. And first appearance of Ken, who is Earl and Tammy's son. He appears from publicity pictures to be either a teenager or a young adult, not really clear, probably a high school kid, roughly. First appearance of Justin, who is a savior, may have joined with them after Negan got caught. Not really clear. Again, not looking for snips more than that, just giving you guys a little context. And also, first appearance of Marco, who is a youth at Hilltop. He may be roughly Ken's age. I don't know if they're buddies or rivals or what. We'll find out tonight. This episode, by the way, is 86 minutes long with commercials, according to AMC's schedule. So it's going to run over. It is the first extended episode this season. Well, it's the first anything this season. And the 32nd extended episode overall. As of this episode, Caitlin Nakin, who plays Enid, and Tom Payne, who plays Jesus, have been added to the opening credits. Also, as of this episode, Lenny James, who played Morgan Jones, has been removed from the opening credits. This is the first episode featuring Callum McAuliffe, who plays Alden, and Avi Nash, who plays Sadiq, as series regulars. They are listed under, quote, also starring. Austin Emilio, who plays Dwight, is no longer listed under also starring. Xander Berkeley, who plays Gregory, Carrie Payton, who plays Ezekiel, and Pollyanna McIntosh, who plays Anne, or Jadis, are still listed under also starring despite being regulars in previous seasons. And this episode marks the first time Judith Grimes is seen speaking full sentences. That should give you a bit of context as to the time jump that everybody's been hearing about. Check in the chat room. Still dark, so we'll go ahead and continue. So I have some trivia from the last episode that we saw way back in early spring, episode 16 called Wrath. So there's a lot of trivia for that one. This episode was 70 minutes long with commercials, according to AMC's schedule. It is the 13th extended episode this season and the 31st overall. This is the fourth season finale to be extended. Jadis' real name is revealed to be Anne in this episode, A-N-N-E. Gregory is the only main character who is alive that didn't appear in this episode. This is the first time a new episode of The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead aired the same night. If you guys remember, this was a twofer, so it went from the season finale of Walking Dead Classic right into Fear's opening episode. This is the first episode of the entire series that is played in select movie theaters as a part of Fathom Events. I actually had missed that earlier. It's been a while and I had forgotten about it, honestly, and I have not heard anything about them doing it tonight or this season yet. The season 4 premiere of Fear the Walking Dead is played directly after this episode. We kind of alluded to that earlier. The title of the episode correlates with the title of the season premiere, which was Mercy, both of which came from the quote spoken by Rick, "My mercy prevails over my wrath," and by Sadiq, "May my mercy prevail over my wrath." I think Rick heard it from Sadiq and finally had a moment where he absorbed the point. Additionally, the scene in that episode where Rick says it is shown to be a flash forward to this episode. Last time was the last appearance of Morgan Jones in The Walking Dead Classic. His journey to Texas is not shown. This trivia was posted, but I question its validity, this next part. Quote, "Morgan is one of four characters in the universe to be in both TV shows. In this case, his original TV series and the companion series. The other characters are Rick Grimes, Carol Pelletier, and Paul Rovia. I have absolutely no knowledge of any of the three of them being involved in Fear the Walking Dead. So I'm not clear what this trivia meant, and I'm trying to investigate that for you guys. I'm going to go ahead and give it to you, but understand that I don't stand behind that one. I find it confusing, to be honest. This episode's title is shared with the penultimate episode of Season 2 of Fear the Walking Dead. Pardon me, I had a cough. Marking the first time that an episode of the TV series and an episode of the companion series have shared a title. This is the final episode to feature Scott Gimple as the showrunner of the TV series. According to Scott, this finale marks the conclusion of the first 8 seasons of the show. Well, we know that obviously, Scott. And marks a landmark for the series' next seasons. I guess he just sort of means like when he's not showrunner anymore, when Angela takes over, it's going to have a different tone to it. And that has always happened. You know, showrunners are one of the biggest influences on the tone of how a show is done. Next is the first episode to feature a flashback to before the outbreak since the episode Chupacabra. It also had the longest extension of time between the past and the present, which is approximately 9 years before the outbreak. This is the first episode to feature any pre-apocalyptic flashback before Carl was 10 years old. This is the first season finale since season 4, where nobody from Rick's group or community has died. This is also the first season finale since season 5, not to feature any main character deaths. Negan revealed that the outcome of his game of Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe and Last Day on Earth wasn't random, and that he chose to kill Abraham. He purposely avoided killing Rick so that Carl wouldn't have to see it. This also confirms Michael Cutlitz's theory that Negan purposely chose mainly because Abraham was posturing during the lineup and Negan felt threatened by him. With Carl's death in the episode Honor and Morgan leaving for Fear the Walking Dead as of this episode being episode 16, Wrath, Rick, Daryl, and Carol are the only main characters left from season 1. Sydney Park's real-life mother and father were brought in to play an Oceansider and Savior defector at Sydney Park's request. Brianna Venskus did not appear in this episode. Instead, her stand-in portrayed Beatrice at the hilltop battle scene. Additionally, her stand-in has been added to the pool of Oceanside extras for season 9 as a separate character. Check the chat room real quick. And Joan is actually with us. Joan, can you hear me? I'm going to go ahead and type that too, just to make sure. I don't know if she realizes I'm talking. So anyhow, oh, good. She can hear me. So let me go ahead and say thank you and welcome. I'm glad you could join us. I was just finishing up some trivia from episode 16, Wrath, which was the finale for last season. And I'm right now to the goofs, errors, and bloopers from episode 16. So background extras, Jessica Marshall, Susan Boone, and Tia Davis are seen as part of the militia in the beginning of the episode, but are later seen fleeing with the townspeople who stayed behind at the hilltop. When the Oceanside women were throwing petrol bombs on the saviors, I don't know who wrote that. Obviously, it wasn't an American. One of the women was leaning back her arm as she wanted to ignite her bottle, whereas cloth on her bottle was already on fire. So those are the two bloopers that people caught. Let's see what Joan is saying. Oh, she's had connections and internet issues, but it obviously is now solved, so we are glad to have her here. So the next section is cast birthdays this week. It's 8:19, almost 8:20, so we got a little time yet. You know, I did start this early. So cast birthdays for this coming week are Tyler James Williams, who played Noah in Season 5 From Grady to Richmond. His birthday will be October 9th. And he's from Westchester County, New York. And Lenny James, who plays Morgan, his birthday will be on October 11th, and he is from Nottingham, England. And it's very easy to forget that because he, like a great deal of the cast, are not actually Americans, and they do American accents so well, I forget all about that. So we do have some featured music from the last episode, Wrath, number 16. There's 4 songs that people identified. One is I don't know why they added this, because it's every week, but somebody had added to the list the theme from The Walking Dead by Bear McCreary, and we appreciate that, but that's always there, so I consider that a given. The next one is a song called Take What's Mine by the band Future Royalty, which was the music used for The Walking Dead Season 9 Comic-Con trailer, the extended trailer that was out late June, early July. I can't remember exactly when it hit the internet. The next one is The Calling by a band called The Riggs, R-I-G-S. That was the music used for Season 9 promo number 1, quote, Rick Grimes' final episodes, that was aired on Instagram. And you can see a copy of it on YouTube, I believe, if you're not an Instagram person. And then the last one is Burning Brighter, which was done by Lee Richardson, Jonathan Murrell, M-U-R-R-I-L-L, Tom Ford, and James Kokoza. And that music was used for Season 9 promo number 2, Rick Grimes' final episodes, that also aired on Instagram, and you can find it on YouTube. All right, so let me pull up my notes. And Joan says, they may be having internet issues, so let me pop in and out, and that's fine. We will work around that, and hopefully you can catch up when you can reconnect. So I have been keeping track of unaccounted for characters on Fear, and I did actually find some notes about some similar characters for The Walking Dead. So that's the article that I have for you guys real quick. I don't have a list that I've been keeping, so I'm just going to go ahead and read this to you. So this is an article from digitalspy.com. The Walking Dead's missing characters who might return for Season 9. Now, the next comment, people may consider a spoiler, but this is official promotional stuff that is already out, that AMC is cool with being out. So just warning you, if you don't want to hear this little snip, go to the bathroom and get yourself a drink for when the show starts. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, spoiler coming. Shane's back, so who else could be? Yes, that's super outrageous. We will get to that in a hot second, because I'm going to read the article to you. It is written by Ian Sandwell, and this was back from August 20th, but I didn't see it until now because I wasn't looking. So he says, shortly after the shock announcement that Andrew Lincoln would be leaving The Walking Dead, came the even more surprising news that his exit would lead to a surprise comeback from John Bernthal as the long-dead Shane Walsh. What the hell? We don't yet know exactly how Shane's return will tie into Rick's exit, but while Bernthal's return is likely to be a one-off, it led us to think which MIA characters who are still alive in the Walking Dead TV universe might make a permanent comeback or even just resurface briefly for, and these are Ian's words, a pointless Morales-style stunt return. I have to agree with them. The whole thing with Morales was a lot of buildup, and that firework shot super early, so... Anyway, here are, according to Ian, 6 of the most likely candidates for the upcoming Season 9. Now, they have not announced any of these. These are just his personal theories. I'm going to check with Joan real quick before I dig in. Okay, we're good. And let me go ahead and continue. So, obvious guess number 1, Morgan. It might seem weird to suggest that Morgan could go back to The Walking Dead only a season after his much-publicized crossover, but that was until the mid-season premiere of Fear the Walking Dead Season 4. The episode showed Morgan tell everyone of his intention to head back to Alexandria and that he wants everyone to join him as it's, quote, a good place with good people. A storm has since hit, and we don't know if he's any closer to returning. But while Morgan still has a, quote, long, long journey to go on the spinoff show, and that's true, Fear showrunner, co-showrunner Ian Goldberg isn't ruling out a return to the flagship. With The Walking Dead Season 9 undergoing an 18-month time jump, it makes Morgan crossing back over to the parent show a little more difficult. However, it could just be that we see Morgan towards the end of Season 9 and Fear Season 5 will show how he came to be there. Then again, Lenny James has been teasing that something will happen to Morgan in the remaining episodes of Fear's 4th season that no one will see coming. So maybe his time on both shows is coming to a more permanent end. Gulp. So remember, this was written in August. He hadn't seen Fear episode 16 yet, so we know that that didn't happen. But there were some interesting things that went on. So missing character number 2, and this was a good catch, Sherry. So now you remember, after she helped Daryl escape from Sanctuary, Dwight's ex-wife Sherry went on the run, and that was the last we heard from her. Although she did leave Dwight a note that hinted the two could get back together when the all-out war was over. In the season 8 finale, Dwight was exiled by Daryl from Alexandria and left to reunite with Sherry, finding another note at their meeting spot. With the 18-month time jump, it's entirely possible that Dwight has found Sherry within this time and could have settled down into a new life with her. While Christine Evangelista's availability was initially a problem for Sherry's return, given her series regular role in the show The Arrangement, that show has now been canceled. What's more, if we go by the comics, I'm not going to read that part because we don't go by the comics and we don't care. So I'm not sharing that last part. Blah, 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 something Sherry did in the comics. So let me check and see if Joan has anything to add. Not yet. Oh, she has actually lost connection for a minute. Let me refresh and see if she's in the chat room and I just missed it. Because sometimes the screen will time out. So sometimes when people come back, Flash is an old mechanic, and I have fussed about that before. Okay, Joan's not with us right now. That's fine. Okay. Let's go back to the article. The third one is the one I've been pointing at, Heath. Heath was last seen in season 7 in flashbacks that showed a scavenging mission with Tara that went wrong. The pair got separated, but when Tara returned to the spot she last saw him, their vehicle was gone and there was only a key card that read PPP left behind. This implied that Heath had successfully escaped becoming Walker food, and The Walking Dead creator Robert Kirkman had previously hinted that we could see Heath return at some point in the future. It could now even be more likely with Corey Hawkins no longer being kept busy with 24 Legacy, and Scott Gimple, now chief content officer at Walking Dead franchise, revealed at Comic-Con that the writers are ready if Hawkins wants to return. We want to work with him again, and we want to tell more with that character, he outlined. And, you know, the way that character left the show, there's a story there. There's a story for that character. It's just there's a lot of flexibility built in because he's making movies. And I know that that happens a lot between TV and film. You have an actor who's involved in a show and it's going well, and they kind of stay around for a while. And if one project or the other is going on, they kind of wiggle it. And, you know, like they're doing with Daniel Salazar in Fear. I know Ruben Blades has got projects going on. That's why they haven't brought him back yet. So let's go to the next character. Number 4, Dwayne, who is Morgan's son. So this is a bit of a left field choice, but could Morgan's son Dwayne return to the show for the first time since season 1, barring a brief cameo in a season 7 flashback? In season 3, standout episode Clear, Morgan tells Rick that when he left Dwayne alone, he came back to find him pointing a gun at his undead mother, Jenny. Dwayne couldn't shoot her, and he was apparently bitten before Morgan could kill Jenny, yet it wasn't clear then if he killed his son or left him as a walker. But we never actually saw this happen, and Morgan wasn't exactly in the best state of mind, so could it be that Dwayne actually didn't die? It's unlikely, we know, although you never can rule it out if you don't see a body. And, well, you know, I used to believe that about this show, and then they destroyed that with what they did to Madison over in Fear. You know, we didn't see her die. We didn't see a body or a walker. So I don't really know what to make of that. I think that's a super stretch, simply because if nothing else, even if all this is true, Morgan had Dwayne down in Atlanta, and now everyone is in Washington, D.C., and Dwayne has no way to know that. So I think that honestly is stretched too thin. But it's interesting. We'll see what they do with it. Double check to see if Joan has made it back. Joan has made it back, and she commented that it would be cool if they could find a way to work Corey Hawkins, who plays Heath, back into the series. I agree with you. And I don't think he wanted to leave the series. I think that he just had another project going on in the meantime, so they found an opportunity. And she also says, might be a stretch to bring Dwayne back. Doesn't seem plausible that Morgan would leave him behind, Walker or not. No, it doesn't seem plausible, and even if, you know, he didn't bring him with him, so we know that much, and they're all up in D.C., so I don't see how the hell that will happen. But okay, so 5, Grady Memorial Hospital survivors. And again, they're in Atlanta, everyone's in D.C., don't see why this is relevant. But Ian says, Back in season 5, we were introduced to the Grady Memorial Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, a, quote, refuge for survivors run by the Atlanta police, who ended up, quote, rescuing people, only to force them to work in the hospital as repayment. It was the place that led to the death of Beth at the hands of his leader, Don, who was then killed by Daryl. However, there were plenty of other survivors left there, such as Dr. Stephen Edwards, who chose not to leave with Rick and stay with the officers in charge instead, like Officers Tanaka and Shepard. There's a chance the hospital could have fallen in the years since, yet that's unlikely given that it had survived since the outbreak. It was suggested that it would now be a peaceful community after the death of Dawn, but that doesn't mean members of the hospital can't come into contact with everyone else again. I don't know. Again, a stretch just because Atlanta. I'm not real fond of these magical deus ex machina trips where people are 5 or 7 states away and they magically find each other again. No. Got to stop that. So the last one is the Vatos Gang. Cast your mind back to season 1 when Rick, Lori, and company came upon a gang hanging out at a nursing home, protecting their own family and the home's elderly residents. This was the Vatos Gang, and after some early issues, Rick left behind guns and ammo for them. This was the last we saw of them in the show, although a deleted scene from season 2 saw Rick's group discover that the gang and the home residents were killed by human pillagers, with their bodies being feasted on by walkers. However, since the scene was taken out of the show, that doesn't mean it's officially canon. So it could be bypassed if the show wants to bring back Guillermo, Felipe, or someone else from the gang. So that's the end of that article. Joan did comment, hey, they brought back Morales from the Deep South, so why not the Atlanta hospital people? Still a stretch, though. Yes, you know, actually, now that I realize it, Morales was from Atlanta, and I don't remember how they explained how he magically came back. I really don't like all this thin stuff they're doing, so I want to see as little of that as possible. Anyway, that is the end of what the article has to say. So I'm going to go back to my notes. It's 8:32, so we got a half hour before we go dark, which is good. I'm glad that we've got that timed that out. Okay, so I've got notes on who is on the couch. But I'm going to read you something else related to that because it was very hard to find these notes. They're a little more plentiful now, but when I was looking a couple days ago, it wasn't. So this was also written elsewhere on the web. I didn't bother including the link. Though we already know the guests for the season premiere episode of Talking Dead, and I didn't at the time. I found them later. The Talking Dead social media account is asking for questions for Caitlin Nakin, Tom Payne, and Pollyanna McIntosh, even though they won't be on the season premiere episode of Talking Dead, suggesting that they might appear on the episode following 902. So, joining Hardwick, I have a list from UndeadWalking.com. They've usually been good lately about spoiling the couch for us. So, joining Hardwick on October 7th are Norman Reedus, Melissa McBride, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Greg Nicotero, and new showrunner Angela Kang. So they have 5 guests, and that is the couch for Talking Dead. You see, Joan had added, if she remembers right, Morales and his family went west towards Alabama or something, and somehow ended up with the Saviors after his family was killed. Yeah, and, you know, isn't that all so convenient? And he just happened to end up in D.C. where everyone else just happens to be. It's a just so happens stuff that's really starting to cheese me off a little bit. So I'd rather things don't just so happen. So I am going to skip some articles. I have some articles for you guys, and some of them are about tonight, but I want to skip down because I've had these notes and I've been sitting on them, haven't had time to read them to you, but now we are into season 9 and I need to. So The Walking Dead season 9 lead up plot. Last season brought the culmination of, quote, all-out war, which pitted Rick Grimes and his group of survivors against their saviors and their cunning leader, Negan. With Negan's life in his hands, Rick has a character-defining choice in front of him. By making the unilateral decision to spare Negan, Rick upheld the values that his late son, Carl, championed in order to build the future, but it created conflict within his group. Now we see our survivors a year and a half after the end of the war, rebuilding civilization under Rick's steadfast leadership. It's a time of relative peace amongst the communities that were as they work together, looking to the past to forge the future. But the world they know, or the world they knew, is rapidly changing as man-made structures continue to degrade and nature takes over. And you know that was going to be something inevitable after this many years of this stuff going on. So changing the landscape and creating new challenges for our survivors. As time passes, the communities confront unexpected obstacles, danger, and of course, walkers. But nothing quite prepares them for the formidable force they are about to encounter, which threatens the very idea of civilization that our survivors have worked so hard to build. Ugh, you know, that kind of hyperbole happens every season. There's always going to be something. But at any rate, as happened with Fear, I have the first 8 episodes listed. So I have upcoming information. I'm going to read that off to you real quick. I'm going to check the chat room. Jonah said, yeah, hell of a coincidence that about Morales enough already. Yeah, so she understands what I'm fussing about. So here is the first 8 episodes of season 9. So the first one, A New Beginning, that is tonight. Next Sunday is The Bridge, episode 2. That's the 14th. Episode 3 is called Warning Signs. And interestingly, that is directed by Channing Powell. I'm going to spoil that ahead of time. October 21st. Episode 4 called The Obliged, which was October 28th. Episode 5, What Comes After, November 4th. And here's where it gets interesting, and I'll talk about this in a minute. So episode 6 is not titled. They know what the title is, but they're not announcing it. That's November 11th. Episode 7 is called Stradivarius, and the director is Michael Kudlitz. And actually, on Warning Signs, episode 3, I misspoke. Channing Powell is the writer. That's going to be November 18th. And then the mid-season finale, Evolution, is November 25th, Thanksgiving Sunday. And then we'll have a break probably until about February, as we often do. So, by the way, based on how episode 6 is untitled and Nicotero is stepping in to direct episode 5 and Michael Kudlitz is guest directing number 7, I strongly feel it's going to be a key plot device which leads up to Rick and Maggie's exits. And I think they're not giving the title because that would give too much away about how that's going to happen. This is my opinion. I'm sticking to it. So I'm going to scroll back up to articles that I have for you guys, and I will try to cover what I can of that. I just want to make sure we had time to talk about a whole bunch of stuff relating to tonight before we got started on tonight. All right, so I've got this next one up. Let me check in the chat room, and Joan has not added anything else, so let's go ahead and go on to article number 1. It's 8:38, so we've got a little over 20 minutes before we go dark. So, this article is from NME.com. Let me scroll down the page and see what the heck that stands for. I actually don't know. Home, contact, let me see your page. Come on. There's Flash on this page, and it's being a pain in my butt. Let me see, contact. I am unclear. It's in London. And it's related to time, but I actually don't know what this source is. I'm sorry. So anyway, it's not one that I normally use, so I'm a little bit unsure who they are, but they did have this article that was interesting. So the article is written by Sam Moore. It was released on October 5th. And it says, The Walking Dead, can season 9 win the fans back, or is the ailing show finally undead? You know, we've seen a lot of this for a couple of seasons now. And I think most shows have a natural lifespan where the beginning is awkward like a teenager, and then they find their footing and they have some good stuff. And then they do some things that some people like and some people don't, and you start to lose some people, but then you gain people, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I think this is a natural life cycle of pretty much all the shows. So I don't give too much mind to that, but let me go ahead and read what they said. So with a new showrunner at the helm and a time jump equipped narrative in place, a welcome return to form could be just around the corner. Whisper it, but The Walking Dead might be about to be pulled back from the brink. I didn't know they had a brink. So this has spoilers for season 8 and early details about season 9, but you guys know that we don't hold back. Anything that AMC has allowed to be out there, we will use. And it says, let's face it, the once acclaimed zombie extravaganza has properly stagnated ever since its controversial season 7 premiere. Viewer numbers have dramatically tumbled. There's been a greater frequency of arduous "why do I bother" episodes, and a pervading feeling among longtime viewers of the show that the bleak, Walker-filled dystopia had lost its once fearsome bite. But change could be very well on the horizon for The Walking Dead. Its U.S. network, AMC, seems to be very keen to arrest the show's obvious decline, with the blank slate of Season 9 promising a new narrative direction, exciting new locations, and the exit of not one but two main characters. The potential of this new block of episodes, which will premiere in the UK on Fox this Monday, October 8th, could win back a good chunk of the show's once formidable fan base, which at its peak attracted the highest 18 to 49 viewership of any show in the U.S. So, how might The Walking Dead's renaissance come about, we hear you ask? Well, from what we've heard so far about Season 9, there could actually be plenty to be cheerful about. Here are some choice reasons why you should give the show another chance this autumn. I'll check the chat room before I get too down. Okay, still good over there. Reason number one, there's a new showrunner at the helm. Scott Gimple's reign as The Walking Dead showrunner saw the series enjoy its highest rated episode, 2014's No Sanctuary, drew in 17.29 million viewers in the U.S., and suffer some of its lowest, only 6.3 million tuned in to see Still Gotta Mean Something earlier this year. But his January promotion to the newly created position of Chief Content Officer of the Walking Dead franchise won't have upset too many loyal fans of the show. Disgruntlement with Gimple's stewardship hit a noticeable peak in December 2017 when over 87,000 irate Walking Dead fans signed an online petition demanding his removal from the show following the controversial killing off of Carl Grimes, a move which didn't follow the blueprints of the original comics, yes, we know that much, and even came as something of a surprise to Carl actor Chandler Riggs. I challenged that. Chandler wanted to go to college, and it's my understanding that he asked to be able to go do that because the show timing of his work was keeping him from doing that. So I'm not sure entirely that Sam knows what he's talking about with that part of it. All right, let me sip water real quick, sorry. Okay, so Angela Kang has been hired as the showrunner for season 9, and it's an appointment which could be the breath of fresh air that The Walking Dead so evidently needs. There's been plenty of talk among fans, critics, and those in The Walking Dead's inner circle about the sense of optimism which has been created by Kang's promotion, with the new boss herself keen to emphasize that season 9 will be noticeably impacted by a raft of positive changes. We're playing with the style of the show a little bit, she told Variety back in June. I think fans will enjoy the new look and feel that we have. Obviously, the show has an established feel that we want to keep. We love these stories about survivors and how they're making their way through the world. That said, we want to keep things fresh, so I've had these great conversations with our DPs and our directors about amping up the look of the show. The result of those great conversations has already led to the show receiving a revamped opening credit sequence for season 9. And it says what you can see below, but the video was pulled from YouTube. And you guys can't see it anyway because this is radio. So the next reason, there's been a significant time jump. We're playing with time, Kang revealed earlier this year about the time frame of events of season 9. And because we're jumping forward in time, there will be some exciting new things about the look of the show. The world is starting to break down, and nature is taking over. It's moved away from cars and bullets and much more horses and hand weapons. It's a fun evolution we're playing with. It's been established that The Walking Dead will resume 18 months after the events of Wrath, which saw the defeat of Negan and the Saviors. More on that shortly. Civilization is slowly coming together under Rick's leadership, but of course, trouble is never far away. As time passes, the survivors' communities confront unexpected obstacles, danger, and of course, walkers. The official Season 9 synopsis teases. But nothing quite prepares them for the formidable force they are about to encounter, which threatens the very ideal of civilization that our survivors have worked so hard to build. Could that possibly refer to the mysterious... there's a name of a group. It's a comic group. Not going to mention it because we don't know. There's a group that, if you follow the comics, may be the next in order, and I'm not going to talk about that. And if it comes out later and they mention it, fine, but not yet. So, third reason, Rick is on his bike. After 115 episodes as The Walking Dead's central figure, Rick Grimes, played by Andrew Lincoln's time on the show, will finally come to an end at some point in the coming season. Again, my guess is episode 6. While it would be strange to watch The Walking Dead without its sheriff protagonist taking on baddies, walkers, and his own crippling traumas, it may take something as narratively seismic as a seemingly immortal Rick exiting the show's universe to shake things up for the better. It'll also be fascinating to see how Kang chooses to handle Rick's departure. Will he ride off into the sunset for pastures new unscathed? Will he meet a messy end in the middle of a walker horde? Or will Daryl, Norman Reedus, assume the throne as expected by rubbing out his longtime companion, which, while pretty unlikely, would certainly shake things up a bit? Rick won't be Season 9's only major casualty. Maggie, Lauren Cohen, will also be departing for the time being, with the Fiery Widow only reportedly set to feature in 6 more episodes. See, I can count. As Cohen has signed on to star in the new ABC show Whiskey Cavalier. However, Kang is confident that Maggie will return at some point in Season 10. I'll say first of all that we still plan some more story with Maggie. Lauren wants to do it. It will be a little subject to her schedule, but hopefully we can have her back next season, she told comicbook.com. We have always planned to have this great story with Maggie this season, and I think we promised something. We want to pay off that promise. We definitely have a very strong Maggie arc. I'll check the chat room and see if Joan wants to add anything. Let me refresh the chat just to make sure I haven't missed any comments. Again, technical nonsense. I'm going to go ahead and read the next reason. No more Negan. Well, actually that's a technicality, to be honest with you. Okay, Joan's still here. That's fine. Just making sure I didn't miss any comments. Well, there were definitely less of him, that's for sure. Negan's baseball bat-wielding shtick has became a very tired motif during Season 7 and 8, with viewers not universally warming to the slow erosion of the villain's omnipotence over the majority of that 32-episode block, particularly during the tiresome all-out war story arc. The defeat of the Saviors during the Season 8 finale did elicit many a relieved cheer from the Walking Dead fandom, though, albeit tinged with disappointment that Rick elected not to kill Negan, therefore not delivering the closure we all wanted as recompense for the latter's murderous acts, and the day will come when you won't be. Remember how Maggie wasn't best pleased with Rick's reasoning for his decision, too. Season 9 will instead continue with Jeffrey Dean Morgan's character still part of the action, albeit behind bars and under the watchful eye of Rick. Could he even become part of the gang after a prolonged period of reflection and rehabilitation, helping them to confront, leaving that out because it's a comic reference? Okay, maybe we won't go that far just yet. Check into the chat room. Joan says, nothing to add yet, just listening. Not sure what NME stands for either. It's something to do with Time Incorporated. So I don't know if this is like a British subsidiary of theirs. That's my guess. It appears to be a news entity of some sort. Not really clear. Okay, next thing is, it's the perfect time for former fans to get back to The Walking Dead. Were you pissed off by the laborious all-out war, persistently annoyed by Negan constantly avoiding any sort of comeuppance, or just generally dissatisfied with the show, which has continually failed to live up to its past glories as one of TV's must-watch shows? We hear you, but we'd also counsel you to take all of the above into account when it comes to deciding whether to keep watching The Walking Dead this season. The promised changes to the narrative, cast, and production crew for season 9 come across more as a genuine decision by AMC and the powers that be to freshen up the show rather than a desperate attempt to prolong a franchise which has so much riding on it. Don't forget, there are hugely ambitious plans in place for the Walking Dead universe to carry on for many, many years to come. Here's hoping, then, that Season 9 will be the revitalizing shot in the arm that The Walking Dead so desperately needs. We'll give it a go if you do. Okay, well, I don't know how you'll know if we give it a go, but okay, whatever. So, News Music Entertainment, just grasping here. I really don't actually know the answer, Joan, so I couldn't tell you if you were correct or not. So that is the end of that article, and I'm going to pull that down because I have been hanging on to the links of some of the articles I used to read you guys because I was concerned about repeating them. That was a bit of a thing for a bit where I read the same article a couple weeks in a row, and that was bothering me. That's how all that started. So all my links are from Fear episodes, so I'm going to erase that. Pardon me. So the next article that I have for you guys is Everything We Know About The Walking Dead Season 9. So I am assuming that everything here is approved of being out in the wild by AMC. This was posted by TVGuide.com, so I think they would care if they posted anything we shouldn't know. So this was written by Liam Matthews on October 7th, so I guess this morning at some point. So, when The Walking Dead returns for its 9th season in the fall, it will in some ways be a different show than it was at the end of Season 8. It will have a new showrunner and a new story, since the Season 8 finale was something like the conclusion of the first long war-driven novel, and Season 9 will start the second civilization-driven story. Here's what we know so far about the next 16 episodes of AMC's flagship horror drama. 1. It's getting a supersized premiere. The series is coming back earlier in October than usual, Sunday, October 7th. Usually it premieres later in the month. That is true, actually. The premiere is called A New Beginning. It's directed by executive producer Greg Nicotero and will be nearly 90 minutes long. It has a new showrunner. Angela Kang has been promoted from co-executive producer to executive producer. She has been a writer on the show since season 2 and has penned some of the show's finest hours, including season 4's Still, season 6's The Next World, and the season 8 highlight The Lost and the Plunderers. She's taken over for longtime showrunner Scott Gimple, who is moving up to the newly created title of Chief Content Officer for the whole Walking Dead franchise, developing new ideas to keep it growing. I'm going to check with Joan. Nothing else to add. Kang is going to return the show to its former glory. Nicotero thinks the show relied too heavily on cryptic speeches in recent seasons, and this season is a return to meaningful character development. It reminded me of season 2, he said. Everyone always says season 2, it was really boring, Herschel's Farm. And I'm like, fuck you guys. Now, this is a rated R show, so I can say that. Season 2 is when we fell in love with Daryl. That's when we fell in love with Carol, because we took the time. And Kang says she's worked to switch up the storytelling rhythms, which had gotten a little stale. But Andrew Lincoln and Laura Cohen are leaving. Collider reported that Rick Grimes' portrayer, Andrew Lincoln, will be leaving the show before Season 9 is over. It's unknown at this point how Rick will be written off the show, but his exit will reportedly come around the 6th episode of the season, as Lincoln leaves to spend more time with his family in England. He confirmed his exit during the show's panel at San Diego Comic-Con. Lauren Cohen, who plays Maggie, will also depart as she moves on to Whiskey Cavalier, the upcoming ABC series of which she's a star, though her exit will be open-ended, and Angela Kang says they're planning to bring her back in some capacity in Season 10. Of Lincoln's exit, Kang told Entertainment Weekly, "The goal this season was just to pay homage to that character, the character that brought us into the show. Rick Grimes had been somebody that people loved watching, just loved the character's journey. He is this man who was looking for his family and found them, and lost many of them, but has fought on and on. And I think that means a lot to people. And we really just wanted to be respectful of that character and send him off in a great way. So that was a charge for us this season. It is 8:55, so I'm only going to read a tiny bit more of this because we're going to get set up for the Season 9 premiere. And I want to make sure we're not in the middle of an article and you guys miss stuff. So, next one. Rick's going to go out swinging. Rick will have a new mace-like weapon in Season 9. It's his answer to Negan's barbed wire wrap bat, baseball bat, Lucille. And last one I'll probably read to you guys. John Bernthal will return. John Bernthal will reprise his role as Rick Grimes' partner turned nemesis Shane Walsh for one episode in Season 9. Okay, so it is going to be a Morales kind of deal. TV Line first reported. It's not yet known exactly what his return will entail, but presumably he'll appear in a flashback in Lincoln's final episode. Bernthal starred on the series' first two seasons before his character was killed off. He now leads Marvel's The Punisher. Also making special appearances will be Scott Wilson. Wow. Scott Wilson and Sonequa Martin-Green, who played Herschel Green, and Sasha Williams, who died in Season 4 and Season 7, respectively. So they are mentioning something. Joan, because you came late, I don't know if you heard my announcement. Scott Wilson passed away this weekend. So the article knew that and updated this morning. Sadly, Wilson's appearance will be posthumous because he passed away at age 76, the same day his Walking Dead return was announced. We believe it was from leukemia. That was mentioned on Variety and some of the news wires, and there was a comment on IMDb about it. It's 8:57, so I may have time for one more. Oh, yeah, Joan has seen that, so that wasn't a shock to her. But I'm glad they got footage in of him so that he could do this before we lost him. Next, there will be a time jump. Ken confirmed at the Kick-Ass Women of AMC panel, I assume this was at San Diego Comic-Con, that there would be a time jump in Season 9, which was later confirmed to be 18 months into the future. We're playing with time in the season so we can get to jump forward in the story. We come in on some pretty fun stuff, she said. In the future the show is heading toward, the survivors are almost out of gasoline and ammunition, so they're living medievally. Okay, still 8:57. I'll try to do a little bit more. It's going to be the start of a new story. Season 8 was the end of the first stage of The Walking Dead. Quote, I think that when we got the news that Carl was dying on the show, it certainly for me, it felt very much like a bookend of a much bigger journey that began at the hospital, Lincoln told comicbook.com. Searching for his wife and some of the two engines that kept this man alive at the beginning of the show 8 years. To lose the second engine that fueled him at this point certainly did feel to me personally, not just the end of a chapter, but a book, really. I'm going to check and see if Joan has anything to add. Just about Scott Wilson, leukemia ranks right up there with all of the cancers and the really sucks meter. Yeah, my first fear actually was pancreatic because his departure was so sudden. He was supposed to be at Atlantis Walker Stalker Con at the end of this month. So obviously the convention and most people involved in promoting him did not know about this or weren't allowed to say, not sure which. Let me read the next paragraph. Let me see. It's 8:59. Let me see how we're doing. We have little Carl and Rick walking off. So I don't know. It's awful close to the opening. So I think I'm going to hold this until the next commercial break, and then we'll come back to it and we'll talk about that a little more. Okay, so they're getting ready to go, so I'm going to go ahead and be quiet, and I'll see you guys at the first commercial break. Enjoy. Okay, guys, it's 9:06, so let's go ahead and get some scores. I'm actually going to start with a 6, Jones at 5.5. It was kind of an interesting opening. I was fascinated by the trip to D.C. And I sort of wanted to know a little bit more about why they were going before they showed that they were going. But I guess they have their reasons for keeping that as a surprise. So, you know, whatever. That's fine. I had also mentioned to somebody I was a little disappointed, pardon me, that they did a show in D.C. and I didn't hear anything about an extras call. So I don't know if they actually filmed it in D.C. or not. Maybe some of my D.C. actor pals can tell me what's going on with that. So, Joan, if you have anything you want to mention about the opening, let me know. I thought it was very interesting setup, kind of just exposing all the little things they have set up, their little relays and walkie-talkies, and how people are not relying on mechanical things as much and becoming more medieval because things are starting to die out. This is one thing that fascinates me about the genre is you have two phases. Because first you have your scavenging phase where people are just using up the stuff that's laying around from other people being gone. But then you have a second phase when all that stuff starts to die out and there's nobody to repair it or not enough people to repair enough of it. So then you end up having to go back in technology, but you have the influence of new technology that's already happened. So that gets kind of interesting. Jonas commented, this seems more artsy, for lack of a better term, to include the title sequence and credits. Yes, the title sequence was redone for season 9, and they've often tweaked it over the seasons, but this is like a full-on redo, although the music is obviously the same. So we are back now, so I'll shut up. See you guys at break number 2. Well, that was a little short. It's 9:13 and we're already up to commercial break number 2. I am going up to 6.5. Jonah's up to 6. We are trying to figure out where they have gone. At first, I thought it might be the Capitol. But there was something about a museum guide, so I am assuming it's a Smithsonian Museum of Natural History, given what they appear to be looking for. We notice that Rick has shaved his hair again, but not the beard, or he's trimmed it back a little, but it's not gone. Joan says, haven't been there, so couldn't say. I have been there, but it's been many years. I don't remember what it looks like inside. And she said, guessing Daryl will retrieve that arrow on the way out. Yeah, probably. And ew, spiders, and Sadiq, and the dead thing with spiders in it, yuck. So we've got a commercial going on. Let me see if I can move up some of the article that I was reading to you guys. So I had just been talking about start of a new story and what Angela Kang had to say about that. And then next, Scott Gimple talked about seasons 8 and 9 in similar terms, saying that finale concluded a lot of character storylines in ways that opened them up for new storylines going forward. This is sort of the end of a very long chapter of The Walking Dead, Gimple told Deadline. And I don't mean the past couple years. I mean the first 8 years of the show. And that this ends a period of the story that will not be replicated. It's going to turn into, in some ways, a very different show. Driving that point home is the fact that season 9 premiere is called A New Beginning. So, yes. And we still have a commercial, so I'll continue. It has a new opening credit sequence. Emphasizing the newness is the fact that the opening credits have gotten an overhaul for the first time in the show's history. I don't know that that's the first time in the show's history. I think that's pushing it, but they aren't tweaking tiny little things depending on the season, and they're flat out doing stuff. All right, Lodge 49 trailer, so we may be going back in a hot second. The next thing about the opening credits. Oh, I hadn't finished the opening credit sequence. The opening credit sequence is indicative of the new look and feel of this world of the season, and we wanted to give a nod to the show's graphic novel origins, executive producer Angela Kang said in a statement. As we jump into a new chapter of the story, we wanted to present something fun and fresh for our viewers to reflect the changing landscape where nature will be playing a bigger role. While our survivors work to rebuild and adjust to the crumbling infrastructure, the threat of the dead is constantly looming. And true to the spirit of our show, there are Easter eggs for the fans to find if they're looking close. Don't worry, the theme music is still the same. It's another trailer, so it's Halloween stuff, so I imagine after that we're probably going to be back. The next thing that it says is a comics reference, and so I'm not going to read you that, but I can tell you that a prominent character from the comics is definitely being publicly announced as joining, and we are back, so I'm not getting into that. See y'all at break number three. Okay, guys, it's 9:25, commercial break number three, so let's get some scores going. I'm actually going to 7. I'm kind of digging all this so far. Oh, Jonas mentioned there was a Matheson exhibit of some sort on one of the banners going off the rotunda. If it offers any kind of clue. Well, if it's Richard Matheson, yeah, it kind of does. Smithsonian's best guess, couldn't find a sporting goods store, had to steal an antique canoe. The wagon I could see, but the canoe, well... You know, sporting goods stores many years later probably have been well pilfered. I don't know why they're doing this. I thought they were looking for something specific. I really don't know. Joan has given it a 7 also. Everyone on horses except Daryl. I love it. It wouldn't be Daryl without his motorcycle. I don't know. I think it would be interesting to see what Daryl had to do at the point that he couldn't do a motorcycle. But apparently... they're making a thing of it being like he's the last holdout with that sort of thing. So it's kind of interesting. I do have some more of that article, and we're in a commercial. Joan, feel free to add anything if you want to comment on the stuff we just saw. And I'm going to go back and try to get some more of this article read. So comic reference. There is a character coming from the comics, not going to say who it is. Y'all who have seen press releases probably know who I'm talking about. Angela Kang has announced these things, but I just don't want to do that yet. There's an actress that's coming as a character, and there's a guy who played a character in Sons of Anarchy who's coming as a character. That's all I'm going to say about that for now. That says there are a lot of other new cast members too. In addition to this actress I mentioned, new cast members include Brett Butler. Oh, that should be interesting. As a salt of the earth type named Tammy Rose, who I mentioned earlier, and John Fenner's, her husband Earl, I also mentioned earlier, who is going to be Hilltop's blacksmith. Reese Coiro, and Zach McGowan as non-compliant former saviors Jed and Justin. Dan Fogler as Luke, a survivor who's happy to finally be a member of community. The 100th, Nadia Hilker as Magna, the leader of a small band of survivors. And Into the Badlands, Eleanor Matsura as her girlfriend Yumiko. I don't know anything about that. It's a comic reference, don't tell me. Laura Ridloff as Connie, a deaf journalist, and her picture is featured. I have a little run of pictures in the chat room each week, and she's one of them in there. I just didn't know who it was. And Angel Theory as Connie's sister and ASL translator, and Daryl's getting a four-legged friend. So these are all allowed to be out by AMC, so sorry for spoilers. I was looking to see what else I can read. No, that's an advertisement. That's not a trailer for anything. Okay. Al and Sadiq are sticking around. Callum McAuliffe and Avi Nash, who play Savior Defector Alden and Hilltop Dr. Sadiq, respectively got promoted from recurring to series regulars. According to Hollywood Reporter, they'll be getting more screen time in season 9. There's an AMC thing. And we are back, so I'll see you guys at break number 4. Okay, it's 9:38, and I think we're at break number 4. Can't remember. Joan, feel free to let me know if I'm wrong about that. She's going to 7.5. I'm going to go 7.25 for the moment. Well, that's been creeping up pretty fast, and I don't want to overdo it here. So, I guess we lost Ken. So I mentioned these new characters, but Ken was short-lived. I guess he was a plot device. Interesting to see Brett Butler out there. I have not seen her in a show in years. And you can still hear her voice, although she looks different now. I don't know how much of her look right now is makeup and how much of that is actually how she has aged, because I have not seen her in a very long time. So, at any rate, Joan's at 7.5. I'm at 7.25. Now 9:39. And then we pop back over to the article. This is also in the promo, so it should not be a shock. Carol and Ezekiel are an item, as you saw from the last scene. In the trailer, Carol and Ezekiel can be seen cuddling up by the campfire, which was later confirmed by the above photo, which is a photo of them together. Cute, but that probably means one of them is going to die. Well, this is this guy's opinion. I don't know. This is a new world, new beginning, so maybe not. What about that helicopter? Thank you. This is one thing I have been gesturing at. If you guys remember, towards the end of season 8, there was a shot of Jadis, a.k.a. Anne, in the trash can area, and there was this random helicopter that showed up, and she did try to flag it down to come rescue, and she didn't seem surprised to see it. So I don't know what was up with that. But in trailer material, we have seen shots of her and the damn helicopter, and they're new shots. They're from season 9. So hard to say what's up with that. There's something going on. So throughout season 8, we keep seeing a helicopter that never got explained. Thank you. Whoever owns it has some kind of relationship with Jada/Anne, and now that she's going to live with Rick's people, she may want to let them in on a secret. The helicopter makes a brief appearance in the key art and trailer below. Alexandria is being rebuilt. After saying goodbye in season 8 when the Saviors burned it, Rick and company will be returning to their former home in the Alexandria safe zone. We briefly got a taste of it when Father Gabriel visited the burnt remains of his church, but comicbook.com reports that a rebuild of the set is in progress. I'm going to check and see if Joan has anything to add. Not yet. The key art teases that they're going into Washington, D.C. when they were right outside Washington, D.C., for those of you who actually know where Alexandria is. The show is currently set in what used to be the D.C. metro area, but we've never really seen the city on the show. That looks like it's going to change since the key art features a bombed-out Capitol Dome, as well as Rick Grimes with a new short haircut that's getting into old man Rick territory. Yes, it is, because he's got the short haircut, but he's left the beard. Not a big fan of that, Andrew, but I know that you're working on getting out, so I don't know what's up with that. The full trailer's here, lengthy trailer at Comic-Con, which we've talked about already, blah, blah, blah. That's the end of that article. So I may try to pull up another article, because it's 9:42, and we know that this runs over 20 minutes. So, honestly, we've got over a half hour left, so there may be time to do another article for you guys this evening. So I'm going to put this down at the bottom, again, for the not repeating articles, if I can help it. All right. So what is this a trailer for? And does it mean that we're going to be back in a minute? We shall see. All right. Got another discussion link I'm going to try to pull up for you guys. It's dark, but there's music. Okay. All right. See you guys at break number 5. Bye-bye. Okay, guys, it's 9:52, commercial break number 5. I'm going to keep my score where it is. I like the show, but I don't really want to go any higher. Now, Joan, you had a 7.5 before. You cannot steal 7. Yeah. She finally caught it. Yes. Joan has mentioned, interesting that the parents of the guy who just died, Ken, don't like the saviors, but will let a previous savior serenade their son at his funeral. Well, you know, if he's left the saviors and it's been 18 months, I have no idea how it came to that. And the us versus them mentality always rears its ugly head, even in an apocalypse. That's one of the tropes of the genre, is that we as a species, no matter how civilized we are, quote unquote, still go back to that at a heartbeat. We're not very far away from that pretty much at any point in time. Jonas also said, still don't trust Gregory. Me neither. I'm pretty sure he's a weasel. I really want him to die. The character is pretty much a write-off for me. So I'm at 725, Jones at 75, and we're kind of hanging out there. So I have another article now. This looks a lot like the article I read you guys earlier. But no, okay. It's got a title that is the same, but it's a different author. It was written at a different time, and they've got different things to say. But it is about John Bernthal coming back. So The Walking Dead Season 9 tipped to bring back John Bernthal as Shane Walsh. Wait, how is that possible? By Dan Seddon, S-E-D-D-O-N. This was written June 18th, and this is also from DigitalSpy.com. Update, The Walking Dead really is bringing back John Bernthal as long-dead Shane Walsh, it seems. After being spotted near the show's Atlanta set this week, Entertainment Weekly reports that Bernthal will film one episode in the upcoming 9th season. My guess is episode 6, obviously. Given that Shane is dead and his zombie incarnation has also been splattered, it seems he likely will appear in a hallucination, as something said earlier. AMC is declining to confirm it at this stage, but they're not getting mad at people for saying it either. So the rest of this article seems to be stuff that is older than the things I read you were an update. So actually I'm going to go ahead and finish that out and go down to the next one on the list. Let me move this to the do not repeat pile. Sorry about that. It is 9:55. We probably got about another 25 minutes of the show because this runs over, as I have told you guys earlier. Okay, so let's see. The Walking Dead. Okay. The 1, 2, 3, 4. I'll make a reference to a comic thing that is coming. So I'm going to hold off on reading those for a bit, and I may get to them when AMC starts talking more about what they're doing, because otherwise I'm going to keep it under my hat for the moment. Let me see here. That's character portraits. So I've got interviews with cast members, but the ones that I have listed are from Fear. So I'm not going to read those right now. I may have to go to AMC.com and pick up new ones for Walking Dead casts, because I don't want to read those when I'm in the middle of actual Walking Dead classic. Let's see. Oh, we are back. See you guys at break number 6. It's 10 o'clock and we're already at break number 5. That was kind of short-lived. Still staying at 725. I'm really kind of just feeling it right now. But they're staying at the level that I feel that they're doing. They're not losing any of that. Jonah's staying at 75. I had commented on the last scene that I think Carol still has a thing for Daryl, though, too. And I think that has a little baby bit to do with what her reluctance to agree to Ezekiel's little engagement thing. I may be wrong. I don't know. Joan has said, one of the few original Atlanta group, Carol and Daryl have history. Yes, they do. Although sometimes it's more just like besties than it really was as a couple. They kind of bonded over both having an abusive past. And I pretty much think Gregory needs to die. I know that there are some people who don't like you to talk like that, whatever. That's fine. He's a weasel. He will always be a weasel. And every time he almost weasels too much and gets himself killed, he acts all contrite. But he really freaking isn't. And 18 months have gone by, and he's still a toxic, lying asshole. So I'm pretty much done. Interesting, Joan says, that Carol is willing to take over at Sanctuary for a while, although she's a good choice. Good luck getting anything over on Carol. I don't know why she's eager to do it except to help Daryl. I'm really unclear on that. But at any rate, okay, so the John Barenthal thing, I didn't really know what else to read because I had the character portraits and stuff like that, articles, interviews with the actors from AMC. The ones I have are from Fear, so I don't want to read those while we're doing Walking Dead Classic. And there are other articles that mention the characters coming up from the comics. Oh, Michael Cutlitz is talking to Eugene. They're screwing around with the augmented reality game. The Walking Dead Our World, which is an app, the phone app. So download now. And this Friday, there's a trailer for the best thriller in years, I guess it's a movie. Daring and original. Looks kind of interesting and really super weird. Waiting to find out what it is. Sorry. Come on. Bad Times at the El Royale. El Royale movie. So, not really sure what's up with that. Let's see if Joan has anything else to add. A couple more comments. A bit of cold feet about Ezekiel, maybe, for Carol. These commercials with Michael Cudlitz and Josh McDermott are hilarious. Yes, they are. Those two are amazing. And I don't know. I don't remember if you were here earlier to hear that Michael is directing the episode right after what I think is going to be Rick and Maggie's final episode. And I think that's part of is entirely why they do it. Important people are directing 5, 6, and 7. And I think that is because 6 is going to be the episode that changes everything, and that's going to lead up into the mid-season finale. But I don't know. Maggie is probably not going to die because they've already been talking about they want to do more stuff with her. So they kind of gave that away already. She has heard that part and thinks it should be good. I'm kind of stalling here because I don't have articles I'm willing to read because the ones that I have left address a character coming from the comics, and I'm really dragging my feet about mentioning too much about that because the articles talk about the comics too much, and we don't like to do that on this show. We like to just be about the TV show and not make comparisons or set up expectations based on what happened in the comics because we know damn well the TV show does not adhere to the comics. There are lots and lots of differences. Oh, good. We're back. I may see you at commercial break number 6 because we have another 15 minutes. So, see you guys soon. All right, it's 10:12. Let's go to break number 6. And, oh, Joan has just mentioned that son of a bitch set her up. Bad choice, Gregory. I'm going to 7:05 with this stuff going on. Joan, feel free to weigh in. Public execution, anyone? I really want Gregory to die. I'm so fucking done with these kinds of things. Like, people like Gregory should not be still here. Joan's creeping up 7.75. We're chasing that 8. I really don't know what else to say about this last scene here. They introduce this new family, and the characters are already screwing up and losing people in the group. And so I'm sitting here wondering, was this kind of thing just magically not happening for 18 months? And now all of a sudden it is? Or what is going on exactly? Not really clear what's up with that. So anyway, we're in a commercial break right now, but I don't have any articles I want to get into. Joan, have you happened to see the TWDrewards.com? Are they doing a passcode for tonight? because I don't recall having seen one yet, and I kind of have been doing those when I can, so I don't know if you remember having seen any of that stuff. I remember last week I looked, and I couldn't find it, and I looked on my recording of it and couldn't see it either, so I'm not sure what's going on with that, if we're just missing them or what. Another thing that's interesting is, you know what I have not heard a damn thing about, not a peep, is where are the webisodes for this season? Because we should be in season 4 of that stuff. And we don't have another webisode. Now, I did fuss because the Red Machete was a goddamn disaster area and did not lead to anything useful. And it should have, and it could have. I thought it should have segued in with the people who were in that military base, but they walked away from all that. All right, so we have the trailer for Halloween, so we're probably going to go back in a hot minute, so I'm stalling for that. Oh, no, we have a Sprint commercial. Marvelous. Jonas mentioned, knowing Rick is on his way out makes the exchanges between Rick and Michonne more meaningful. Yeah, and I'm sure that's intentional. Jonas says she hasn't seen it either, but she's missed most of the last few weeks, so maybe she's not the most reliable one for the Walking Dead rewards thing. I was just curious, because usually you pay attention to a lot of details. So if you happen to see it in the recording or anything, just let me know. Here's the Talking Dead couch. I have it muted. I don't know what Chris is saying, but here's the 5 people that we talked about who were involved with the show. And so we got 5 people on the couch. And the show's running overtime. It's 10:15. This is probably the last break before we wrap up when they go back. And anyway, just to reiterate for those of you who might have missed it, the Talking Dead guests for tonight, if you didn't catch it on the video clip just now, are Norman Reedus, Melissa McBride, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Greg Nicotero, and new showrunner Angela Kang, who wrote tonight's episode. And Greg directed it. So that looks very interesting to me. I will probably stay up and watch that, but I'm not going to linger at the end of the show since we're running over time and people have work in the morning, all that kind of stuff. I'm real sorry I don't have the other articles or stuff for you guys. Another thing I'm still working on, Joan, is the list of euphemisms for zombies or even walkers that they've used on this show. We talked about that this weekend. I didn't mention earlier, I was away in Pittsburgh, or actually Evans City, for the 50th anniversary of Night of the Living Dead, and they had a 4K restoration and showed it in the Byam Theater, which is the new theater in the same location as the old theater where it first started. So it's got a new name, but same home. Okay, we are back. I'll hush, and I'll probably see you guys at the end of the show. Okay, guys, it's 10:26. We're finally getting to The Talking Dead. Joan and I are both ending on at 8, and I agree with you that they deserved it. And one of the last things going on is Enid was in a wheelchair, and I don't remember anything. I know she had injuries, but I didn't realize it was that bad, so I don't know if that's a backstory for later. But thank God Gregory is gone. I think they made him extra annoying so we'd be cool with it. So, you know, not really sorry. He was kind of a douchebag from the beginning and obviously never changed. So, whatever. It's going to be interesting now, though, because the blacksmith that they desperately need tried to kill Maggie. So that's going to be awkward turtle next weekend. Gregory's death needed to be public, though, as hard as it was to see. Yes, totally agree with you, Joan. Chris Hardwick just mentioned on The Talking Dead that they used the Georgia State Capitol building for the museum. So thanks, Chris Hardwick, for that. Very interesting. I've been by the Georgia Capitol. I hadn't seen it. Not really sure. Obviously, any museum that they would have done to go get things like that has got to be part of the Smithsonian, but I don't know what part it was supposed to be. At any rate, I'm going to wrap this up and let you guys go watch Talking Dead. I will see you guys next weekend, and episode number 2 is, let me find my notes so I can tell you, it's called The Bridge, The writer is David Leslie Johnson, and the director is Daisy Mayer. That's October 14th. So I will see you guys then. Thank you for joining me, Joan. Thank you for anybody who joins us later via iTunes or downloading the podcast or whatever. We appreciate you guys. So let me get some exit music for you. I'm going to try really hard. I'm not sure what to use. Okay. Sorry about that. I will see you guys next week. Thanks.